This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. A proposed constitutional amendment called CACR 17 would prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation. We'll spend the rest of the hour looking at the legal and political issues behind this. Gary Reno, with the New Hampshire Union Leader, remains with us. Also joining us now is John Graby. He's director of UNH Law School's Rudman Center. He teaches constitutional law, among other topics. And John, nice to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for inviting me, Laura.
Well, and Gary, let's just start with you. You attended these hearings on this bill, which passed the Senate unanimously. Is that right, Gary?
Yeah. So very much under the radar.
Yes, very much so, which is why we're covering it now. What would it specifically do, Gary?
Well, basically, all it really did was add sexual orientation to this list of forbidden discriminations, which include race, creed, sex, and so on. And it would simply do that. And the idea, the bill is sponsored by Senator Pierce from Hanover. And he said, you know, we've had all – we have these great benefits here in the state now with gay marriage and civil unions and all this, but we haven't really preserved them in a way that we best can. So if we want to preserve them forever, we ought to put this in the Constitution.
So right now these are laws on the books, but they're not enshrined
in
so
the
to
Constitution.
Speak. Yeah.
And so this would simply enshrine it in the Constitution. Well, everything was well and good until we got to the public hearing in the House. And then several of the – or one of the bill sponsors, particularly Ed Butler, who is the chairman of the House Commerce Committee and owns a bed and breakfast inn up in Hart's location and a very a longtime activist for the gay lesbian community, says, I can't – I'm a sponsor of this, but I can't support it because we're basically leaving a group that's been together, who's fought for this since day one – the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. And he said it's leaving the transgender community behind. And therefore, I cannot support this. And the issue he's had with it is when you say sexual orientation, you're really not talking about transgender. When you should be adding something like sexual some other term that would cover them as well as everyone else. And several other people had similar positions in the House hearing. And there were other people who said, hey, let's get it going here. It's great. But then when we came to the committee deciding what they were going to do, they decided that people really weren't ready for this, that this didn't have enough publicity, that people really weren't aware of what was going on. And do you really want to put it on the ballot in November and see it go down less than a majority? You actually may be hurting the cause if you do that. You may be setting it back years, in maybe 5 or 6 or 7 elections before you can ever put it back on the ballot. So they decided to pull it back and send it to interim study.
Interesting. And it has been below the radar, even though it flew through the Senate, unanimously.
Yep.
All right. Well, lots more to untangle from this. But let me also invite our listeners to join us. The number here in The Exchange, if you have questions or comments or thoughts about this proposed constitutional amendment to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. And John Graby, New Hampshire, as Gary told us, already has laws on the books forbidding this type of discrimination based on sexual orientation. So why put it in the Constitution? What more does this accomplish?
Well, it moves the protection up to a higher level, if you will. I mean, the laws that are protect against discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, there's a state statute that does so that was passed in 1998. That could be repealed, theoretically, at any time. So
By a future legislature.
That's right. If the legislature comes in and has a sympathetic governor, that provision could be altered and the protection written into the statute could be taken out. By putting it into the state constitution, you make it much more difficult in the future by mere legislative majority to go backwards on any of the rights that have been recognized thus far.
And have any other states done this, John?
No other state has put a ban on discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation explicitly in its state constitution.
Yeah. Gary, what's the significance in New Hampshire possibly going first on this? It doesn't sound like this is going to move forward, but the first to really look at it.
Well, I mean, the Senator Pierce's big push was, hey, we were the first to do allow gay marriage legislatively. Others were doing it through the court system and so on. We were the first to do this in this, and add sex discrimination, sexual orientation to various other things too. So we ought to be the first to do this. And I got some pushback. People were saying, well, maybe in this one we may not want to be first.
Still some issues or concerns.
Concerns straightened out, yeah.
Here's an email that came in from Jordan in Auburn who says, some would argue this is unneeded, that this type of discrimination doesn't happen and is just an invite for frivolous lawsuits. Jordan says, did black men and women being discriminated against cause frivolous lawsuits when they fought for freedom to just be what their genetics made them as? We in turn say that if you truly don't discriminate, then you have nothing to fear from this law. And moreover, if we can be fired for having a photo of our spouse on our desk or can't find a place to live because of someone else's cruel views, then there is a problem and one that can be easily fixed. Jordan, thank you for the email. Gary Reno, this sounds like an argument in favor and against an argument that I'm wondering if it came up in the hearings. Frivolous lawsuits. This could open the door to frivolous lawsuits.
It did come up. I mean, people were saying it does open the door to all these people filing lawsuits and one after the other, and because somebody doesn't want to be a photographer at your wedding or somebody doesn't want to cater your wedding or something. Well, we already have those laws on the books, that's for sure. And if you're going to file lawsuits, you could file lawsuits now concerning those frivolous lawsuits, if you will.
Yeah, what about this, John Graby? At the federal level, where you spend most of your time, what concerns have come up from the private sector when it comes to anti-discrimination laws or constitutional amendments aimed at discrimination?
Well, as things are currently structured in New Hampshire, the anti-discrimination bar extends to private businesses. One argument for this amendment would be that it also then extends the anti-discrimination protections to state government. At the federal level, what we see arising right now, and this is taking place as we speak in other places around the country, is the clash between the anti-discrimination principle and the religious freedom principle. There are people who claim that on the basis of their religious beliefs, protected under federal law by the Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment, that they have an entitlement, for example, not to rent an apartment to a same-sex couple if they have a religious objection to that, if they own a building and are landlords, that it should fall within their free exercise rights not to welcome into their building somebody or some couple rather that violate their religious beliefs. And so anti-discrimination and free exercise are often in tension with one another. The Hobby Lobby case that was argued to the U.S. Supreme Court just a few weeks ago raises this issue. The question there is whether companies need to extend, pursuant to the Affordable Care Act, all forms of birth control required by the act when the companies claim a religious objection to certain forms of birth control that they regard as abortion agents, basically. This dynamic of tension between a promise of anti-discrimination and yet the freedom to freely exercise religion, that's really where I think the action is going to be with respect to, future lawsuits.
Wow, it's really interesting. And yet we see, as Jordan points out, that maybe half a century ago, someone might have made the argument that I won't rent to an interracial couple. Nobody would make that argument today.
That's right. That's the argument against it, is that that free exercise certainly would protect the right of a church not to solemnize a marriage that is in tension with its religious teachings, but that we live in a society where there are people of different beliefs and different lifestyles, and that we have adopted an anti-discrimination default rule. I'm not saying that those arguments are going to prevail, but there are those who would say that the free exercise right should be more broadly construed to permit people to engage in a private choice not to interact with or do business with or serve couples that they are, in moral disapproval of.
All right. Well, Jordan, thank you for the email. Our phone number is 1-800-892-6477. In this hour of the exchange, we're looking at a proposed constitutional amendment to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation. Taking your questions and comments at 1-800-892-6477. And Renee's calling from Contoocook. Hi, Renee. Thanks for joining us. Go ahead.
Yeah. I have four daughters, one of whom is gay, and I can't imagine that under the Constitution, she would be treated differently than her three sisters. And I feel like this country is about learning what freedom and protection means, whether it's black people, women. We've learned over time. And now it's time for us to learn that gay people need to be protected.
Renee, what about the thought that Gary Reno presented before from the legislature that, you know, we've got laws on the books, so we don't need to go this extra step to the Constitution? What do you think?
We all live under the Constitution, and it is our protection. And I feel that it needs to cover all of our people. And as far as transgendered people, once that will be the next step. I feel like we learn over time.
Well, Renee, thank you very much for calling in. And Gary, you know, you already described the objections from some of the original supporters of this, that it didn't represent transgendered folks. What were the arguments from the right on this?
From the right?
It seemed like you sort of had political conservatives making some arguments and some liberals making arguments.
Well, I mean, you had the religious community came out and they were very much opposed to this.
What did they say?
Well, they're basically saying this is, as you know, he brought up, it's our right and in our religion, it's our belief that this is wrong, this is morally wrong, and you're putting this in, and you want to put this into the Constitution. It is offensive to us. On the other hand, there are others who are saying, why do we need this? I mean, do we need a laundry list of things here, you know, race, creed, what are we going to add next? We don't really want to do that to the Constitution. You want something that's more general and more broad. And so it was going back and forth, and which is basically why the committee said we're going to study an interim study, which really is a polite death in the second term of a legislature. Because the next legislature doesn't have to take this up at all. So it's really polite death.
Because the next legislature will be comprised of different
people.
Yeah. What was the significance, or was it mentioned, Gary, at these hearings in the Senate and the House? Did people talk a lot about the significance of New Hampshire going first on this?
They did, to some extent. I think, you know, we all like to be first in the nation, presidential, first in this and that. But I think most people were kind of saying, this is a good idea, but maybe it needs to be refined and it needs to be taken. We need to take a little closer look at it before we really jump with both feet into the fire.
John Grabe, Gary mentioned some of the arguments that came up against this, you know, the laundry list, another category. As someone who studies constitutional law, what are your thoughts on that debate?
Well, that was an issue that came up, I believe, in the Senate hearing, which is, you know, I think some people initially said, why don't we amend the Constitution just to ban discrimination generally and take the list of categories? Currently, the Constitution makes reference to race, creed, color, sex, and national origin. The problem with taking out categories, the problem without naming things, is that all laws discriminate. When you really think about it, all laws that regulate people divide people into groups, and that's the definition of discrimination. So a murder law discriminates between people who've committed the act of murder and people who haven't, and impose, you know, a penalty on that group of people. And so, you know, if you don't start to list what are the categories that legislatures cannot discriminate on the basis of, you know, you run into the problem that would truly throw the door open to lawsuits of all sorts. So, I mean, in my view, if you do want to enshrine an anti-discrimination principle that would effectively protect against sexual orientation, I think the better way to go is to specifically enumerate it and to specifically mention it in the Constitution. I think that, you know, I think that it would be necessary for clarity as we go forward and actually to reduce the prospect of litigation.
There is a tension, though, isn't there, John, that, you know, some people say the Constitution should be a clean, clear document, and others say, no, we really need to spell this stuff out.
Absolutely. You don't want it, you know, the famous quote from Chief Justice John Marsh, you don't want it to have the prolixity of a legal code. You want it to be a document that captures our values at an appropriate level of generality. And that's the tension there. I mean, the question is, you know, you don't want it to start to become, you know, a document that goes on and on and on and is amended at every constitution, at every election, rather. At that point, it really ceases to function as a constitution. It's an argument about drawing an appropriate balance.
Does the federal constitution, John, also make the same prohibitions against discrimination based on those other categories, not sexual orientation? But
no, it has an equal protection clause in the 14th Amendment that just guarantees equal protection of the laws. That amendment was adopted, though, in the context of the nation emerging from the Civil War, and it was clearly understood at the time that the Equal Protection Clause applied to the newly freed slaves. We have since, by judicial construction, expanded the equal protection of the 14th Amendment to other groups. But there is not a list. There's not an enumeration in the federal constitution.
Is there an argument when we look at this New Hampshire proposal to say, you know, you've already got equal protection under the federal constitution. You don't need this at the state level.
Well, under the federal constitution, we still have not gone to the level of recognizing that discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation is to be treated the same way as discrimination on the basis of race or even gender. The Supreme Court's been coming closer. You know, last June it issued a couple of decisions in the context of same-sex marriage that suggested that we may be on a trajectory toward that. But under federal law, there is no constitutional right not to be discriminated against on the basis of your sexual orientation. That is analogous to the constitutional right we have not to be discriminated against on the basis of our race.
And Gary, getting back to New Hampshire, how hard is it to amend the New Hampshire Constitution? It's a pretty high bar, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you have to have 3/5 of the House, 3/5 of the Senate, and then it gets put onto the general election ballot, and then it needs a 2/3 majority of the general election, of those voting in a general election. So it's a very high bar. And we've had, you know, the Constitution has been amended quite a few times, but largely it's very rare. It doesn't happen every election, that's for sure. In the last few elections, I don't think the last constitutional amendment we passed had to do with representation in House districts. And that was the last one, and that was a couple of years ago.
So to end the story on this particular proposal, Gary, sounds like gone for now, but we'll be looking at it again in the future.
You know, it's dead in the House, but it's coming. You know, it's like a lot of things. As time goes on, things, attitudes change, and then probably in 6 or 7 legislatures, we'll see something like this go through.
All right. Well, great to talk to both of you. Gary, thank you so much for being here. That's Gary Reno, State House reporter for the Union Leader in New Hampshire Sunday News. And John Grabe, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
John Grabe is director of UNH Law School's Rudman Center. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, changing childbirth choices. Due to cultural shifts and medical concerns, more women around the country, and especially in the Granite State, are deciding against having their babies in the hospital. The state's medical community is taking note, some with major concern, and others trying to work out new arrangements to accommodate this trend. Send us your thoughts by email or Facebook, and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
Diane Rehm Show next at 10 o'clock on New Hampshire Public Radio, where support comes from you, our listeners, and from Dartmouth-Hitchcock, primary care doctors and nurses who put you at the center of health. 13 locations statewide. Information at d-hdocs.org. And Red River Theater is a Concord Region's nonprofit independent movie theater. A list of current movies and membership information online at redriver.org.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO, Concord, 89.1.
WEVS, Nashua, 88.3.
WEVH, Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN, Keene, 90.7.
WEVC, Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ, Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF, Colebrook, 90.3.
And WEVQ, Littleton, 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Diane Rehm. 63,000 bridges in the U.S. have been deemed structurally deficient, not on the verge of collapse, but in serious need of repair. This is actually good news. An increase in federal spending in the past few years has slightly lowered